Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live from beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hello, everybody throughout the world, wherever you are on the planet tonight. It's a wonderful time to be alive. Let's just consider that as we head into the show tonight, that being alive is such a gift in itself. If you can listen to this show and relax somewhere safe and have the leisure time to do that, let's totally enjoy this time and make the most of it. Tonight's topic, Zen is Our Destiny, is one I'm excited to do, and I've been meditating and pooling energy for the last several hours so that I can throw out as many ideas as possible to provoke the understanding of the mystery of Zen. When someone says, what is Zen? The common answer amongst Zen people is to say something odd. What do you mean? What are you talking about? What is what? And then the other person's confused and they're like, what are you talking about? But the person saying, doing the confusing is demonstrating that Zen isn't anything. If you're seeking for an answer of what Zen is, you will not know what it is because it's exactly the opposite. It's kind of a different way of thinking than what many people in the West are accustomed to, and that's the beauty of it. This Zen could do so much good and help in America and Europe and go a long way towards healing the world. And I believe Generation X is primed for the understanding that Zen provides. And I know amongst many of those that I've spoken with, and I know people all over the country and all over the world now through various webmasters and new friends all over the place, but I have a whole network of friends who are super cool people, a lot of musicians, and I know that they're all reading self-awareness type books and learning about the metaphysical and incorporating it as a part of their being, and it's in their everyday lives. And it seems that it isn't mentioned in the mainstream that much, but hey, if it's not mainstream, it's on right here, BBS Radio. Thank you for joining us tonight. Maybe you heard of that little tune before. I don't know, but it's a nice tune and a nice radio station, and you are wonderful for joining me tonight. And if you'd like to call in, toll-free number 1-888-268-4313. Once again, toll-free. This is on the blogandservice.com site under the BBS Radio section, and it's also on the creativecosmos.org site. So if you don't feel like writing it down, you can just cruise over to the websites, creativecosmos.org and bbsradio.com. 1-888-268-4313, and also international, 281-419-7697. And I'd also like you to consider monitoring you to consider joining in the discussion of our chat in the chat room, in the Harmony chat room. Don's recently added a link right under by where you listen to the radio broadcast where you turn on the media player. Right under it, there's a link to the Harmony chat room, and Amy from Creative Cosmos, who you've heard one time in on the show in the Generation X Spirit Warriors show, which just got added to our archives. So if you're chatting with her and interested in hearing her and some of her ideas, you can talk with her on the chat room and also listen to the new archive that was just put up today under the Creative Cosmos archives called Generation X Spirit Warriors. All right, that was a mouthful. All sorts of important information. So here we go, into the Zen. Of course, when you say Zen, you know, people, they might think of the mystical, but it's rooted in Buddha. And many of the core principles that Buddha taught long ago are just as pertinent today as they ever were. In the middle way of Buddha, one of the essential principles, we seek to find balance in all things and be conscious in that balance. Our consciousness and our awareness allows us to maintain balance and not be carried into unconscious action, just habits that we've learned, or reaction, where you simply have a response to an external stimuli that you could predict again and again. Those are two sides of the same phenomenon, where you do not have control of yourself and are out of balance, out of whack. So we find balance in the center, the middle way of Buddha. And the equilibrium of the opposites provides for the center. And you can't just believe this. You may have to act and reflect upon those actions, because you cannot simply believe and maintain the center. You have to have experienced both the unconscious habit and the reaction and seen them for what they are. So you have the experience, wisdom, presence of mind, and clarity to see them for what they are when they come up and to not go along for the ride. And this is essentially how we free ourselves from that which throws us out of equilibrium. It's essential to Zen is in many spiritual traditions, and this is an accepted principle or concept by many, many people at this point, and it's good to repeat again in yet another form so we get the word out and educate more and more people. It's the present moment where life occurs. And if we can draw more of ourselves into this present moment, then that consciousness which can see everything that's happening with a presence of mind to not necessarily be influenced, but to be aware of it, and then to be able to make a choice in the moment that is best in accordance with the resonance of your heart, which you're well aware of as well. So you basically live in the present, and you see everything that's occurring in a much deeper level. And living in the present is not a static phenomenon either. We can consider it logically on the surface. I can prove, essentially, that the past is non-existential. The past right now is nowhere. Wherever you are, whoever you are, you may be royalty, you may be a fisherman, you may be a maker of dream catchers. Whoever you are across this fruited land, the speckled population. You all are connected together now through this program and through this voice. We are all here and now. Here and now in this moment. And that is all that is actually occurring. And whatever is happening in your place and whatever is happening all around in this moment. But as soon as we begin to reflect on that moment as if it's the past, we're missing the next subsequent moment. So the best thing to do to create a future is to bring as much of our attention into building the present. And each present will compound upon itself and in time will bear fruit. One thing that commonly pulls us off of the equilibrium and peace inside is our thinking processes. One thing Zen provides is space enough to observe your thinking processes. As we go through the society and grow up, and go to various schools and learn this, and then we learn that, then we go to university maybe, and we learn a whole nother thing, and it's opening our mind in one way, but it's also not the essential truth. It's information, knowledge. As long as it stays in the realm of knowledge, something you've learned, something you've acquired from the outside, something someone has given to you, then it's stuff in your mind that that is not natural to you. And it's fine that you have learned that, and it's great to have access to that. But what I'm saying is you must understand that this is an external phenomenon. That the being which you are is not the knowledge that you have. And that's one thing that the TV reinforces, is everybody to operate on a mental level. And they send you images that go right into your brain and reinforce certain habits that go on in your thinking. And this is done by design. There are people making the decisions to create thought patterns that will then continue to move on their own in your head. And this happens, and then we allow these things to rule us and move us and make us, they influence our lives. But what we need to see this and rise above it in awareness. When you choose one side or another in an argument, or an argument is displayed as an either or type of argument, know that your mind is creating a conundrum. You don't need to necessarily make a decision right away in an argument or in a issue that has many facets, and there are as many ways of looking at it as there are people who look at it. That is a reality. We each have our own reality. There is no collective reality that we're experiencing, but that's what the TV tries to kind of encourage, that we all live this kind of collectivism. But we need to be individuals. And one way to free yourself from the influence of this, hey, you can enjoy it all you want. I watch plenty of TV. Believe me, I watch TV and sometimes play video games. And I'm just saying to be aware of what it is and what it's doing to you, don't get identified with it. Don't get swallowed up by it. Don't get involved by it. And sometimes, do please turn it off, you know. Rather than allowing somebody else to dictate the reality that you live in, create your own reality. Create your own life. Create your own world. And to do this, you have to take back the initiative and take back control of your own thought processes. So you need that space, and you need to see what you really think. Many of us along the way barely even get to see what it is that we really think, because our thoughts are shaped from such an early age by the outside influences, and speaking freely isn't always encouraged or reinforced, in case you haven't noticed out there. So and in Zen, one thing that is used as a provocation to break you out of that traditional thinking habits is the Zen koan. You get a perplexing little story or a little incident. And once again, as I said earlier, if someone asks you what is Zen, you can't just say, well, Zen is the following this XYZ, because it's none of those things. It's a very, you could say it's an abstraction, but it's not even an abstraction. It goes beyond abstraction. It literally is what is. And it's finding a way to clear out all the debris in our mind, and energy system so that we can reflect what is, see life as it is, and it literally transforms your vision, transforms the reality you're living in. Suddenly things are less dense, and you see the energy fields, and you see occasional creatures just beyond the veil pop in, or you hear messages, or you develop new creativities. But you need to break those habits or jump out of the habits, and that's part of the present moment as well. When you're in the present moment, there is no thinking, because thinking refers to the past and to the future. Because if you're thinking about something, you're carrying something that occurred, considering it, perhaps judging it, or you're thinking about something that might yet happen, maybe worrying, maybe anxiety, or maybe you're allowing the emotion to take over, and that causes depression and can have a negative effect on your body and your physical body. So it's getting space from all these things in the present moment. If you are here, then that is the only thing going on, and that is peace and the present moment go together. And I recommend, if you haven't ever read the Teach Not Han books, he provides some very good insight and explanation about the present moment, how you can use every single thing that occurs in your life to call you back to the present moment. It's kind of a practice. You could say discipline, but then the people don't like that word because it makes them feel like it's an obligation. So you could call it a practice. Kind of a peace practice, or maybe we could call it a peace practice. When something happens, like say you're in a long line at the grocery store, or no, you're buying a Christmas present right now, and you're in the bustling activity somewhere at some department store, and then you get ready to go in a line, and tons of people, and it's going real slow, and the cashier's messing everything up. And you can see people start getting hot. But that's that. Instead of getting hot and feeling harming yourself, you just become aware, or you use it as a means to draw your attention back to the present, back to the here and now, back to yourself, take responsibility for your own well-being, and just maintain your center, maintain your peace. So instead of allowing it to work on you, you use it as a means to reflect upon yourself. Of course, something like a red light when you're driving in the car, sudden red light, someone behind you starts honking. You'd be surprised how confused they'd be. I've done this before. Someone's done that to me, and then they pull around me, and I wave at them like, hey, what's up? And they're like trying to be angry, but I'm just waving at them with a big smile on their face, and they drive away confused. I love confusing people that way. I think it's funny. It's a good way to give them a second to reflect, to break their habit, and to give them for a moment to just... That's part of what Zen cones and stories and things do. They're meant to puzzle you a little bit, stop you up a little bit, provide you a circumstance outside of what you're familiar with, something... Yeah, totally different. Another thing that you need to know about yourself as a human being to manage this is you need to know about the left and right hemispheres of the brain. And you need to know that the left side controls the left hemisphere of your brain, controls the right side of your body. We've all heard that before. And the left side of your brain processes things differently than the right. It's more organizational. It's more the mathematical and the scientific mind. And your right side of your mind is more the creative and abstract mind. And when you can see how some of you may lean more towards one way or the other, but all of our potential is to actualize both and to get both sides and to get them to be illuminated together and work together by accepting the whole and not playing them off to one another and not running them through limited conclusions, but allowing them both free play and to go with the ever-changing present moment. All right, so we're going to take a little break here. I've been talking a little bit longer than I did plan to for this song, but this song is about what we're talking about and very pertinent, kind of short, kind of cool. A song by me called The Zen of You.
Someday we'll part.
To dive back into the concept of Zen, the mystery of Zen. One thing they always say about Zen is the finger pointing to the moon. And I want you to know that's what I'm trying to do right now, point you to the moon. All this stuff I'm saying is not it. It's something else. I always tell it to everyone. Like I say all this stuff and they kind of, you know, you think about it and it's meant to be thought about, but it's really in the end... something else. You've got to make the leap to this something else, whatever it is. And when you do, you know, there's a little threshold that you got to jump over, but it's just the things that get you through is just to trust in the universe, trust that things will work out, because they will. Things are meant to work out. And sometimes when they seem dark, it's just because we haven't yet looked at things in the right perspective. And when we do and reflect upon those troubled times, we will see that it was simply the experience we needed to get to the next level of our understanding. I want to just take a minute. Tonight I'm very happy. Amy, who is doing the monitoring the chat room, has helped me put together a new book of my writing called Pearly Gates Press Volume 1. And hopefully there will be some other volumes coming up. I believe they are. We pretty much have Volume 2 in production stages already. And totally happy with how it turned out. If you want to take a look at the cover and a little bit more about it, you can find it on the cover of my website, creativecosmos.org. And there's a picture there. And, yeah, you can read a little bit about it. There's a nice quote from Don, which I thank him for. And you can click on it and follow the link and just read more about it, a few sample pages. But we're really happy about that. It looks good. And I thank her publicly for all her hard work. Really helped out a lot, and I appreciate it. Okay, some more stuff. Oh, I'll give you the number one more time. Toll free. Give me a call. 1-888-268-4313. Okay, something else about the society that we need want to consider here, that we're going to need to, each of us in our own awareness, understanding, and growth process, might want to consider this, or should maybe consider this fact, that seems like we get very specialized. And really, the farther you go to school, the more specialized you get. Master's degree, doctorate. The society kind of has a narrow it down approach. And, you know, for some things like surgery, man, we do need the specialists. And, hey, specialized in everything is cool. But again, the trick is not to identify with that specialization as if, yes, I am the whatever, you know, the one who has the screwdriver of certain sort that turns the magic screw. And that's me. I'm that dude, the magic screwdriver guy. And then when I go to parties and they're like, hey, you're the magic screwdriver. Yes, I am, you know. We have to not believe we are our jobs. And also not necessarily look at the world through that specialization. We will be better specialists if we also incorporate the creative aspect. I mean, Einstein played the violin, for instance. We must not just become like a cog in our system that we have surrendered our will to. And some may say they don't feel like looking at the bigger picture or what's going on, because it's not their thing. They don't want to see the bigger picture, or they're not interested in world events or whatever. But in our own individual self-awareness and realization processes as human beings, we have the ability to understand everything. Our own place in history and the forces at work right now. We must see ourselves in the bigger picture, in our lineage, in our tradition, in our human heritage. We can't just see ourselves as a floating island, just somehow trying to cope day to day. We're in this life together. Isn't there a song that goes like that? yeah, so you know, for those that are really lose themselves in their own reputation, so to speak, they may come a point of where they have what I call a cosmic crisis. I had a song that goes with that, but I had some other songs I wanted to play for you tonight instead. We'll get to the cosmic crisis tune eventually, but I call it that because it's a point where you realize yourself as a cosmic being. You stop thinking of yourself as just small little person in a little role that was determined by fate with no control over your destiny, and you take control of your own life by living it, by being here, and by being unafraid, and moving forward. And it's always the unknown which lies ahead. And any time we deceive ourselves otherwise, we are not helping it in any way, because the unknown is what it is. Then it will just hurt more when the unknown asserts itself. So it's best to have everything out front, to know what we're dealing with, and just develop our own alertness. And so I want to go further into this higher kind of psychology. We can even call it super psychology or mega psychology or beyond psychology, where when we have this breakdown, we don't go to someone who tries to reorient us to the past, but we find someone who facilitates the transformation to the grander vision, in the realization that this breakdown was the harbinger of. If we feel down, depressed, it's because we're not moving in the right direction. We're making bad choices, and we're giving up control of our lives as if we are a victim. But each moment we are responsible for what occurs, and we are living what we have created for ourselves. And whatever we feel is not to be blamed on others, because this is one of the greatest harms you can do, is blame others. And it just puts off the day of healing. And when you do heal and realize what you've done, you have to live through the burn. But that's how it goes. Now, and if you make this commitment and turn around and take that responsibility, you will see many more wonderful things entering your life, and you will make more positive choices. As I say, sometimes shine your light, allow yourself to resonate outwards, and also don't worry if it's rejected by somebody. Maintain that in your own center, that if you love and it's rejected in some way, it isn't that there was something wrong with your love. Love some more. Some will be able to receive it, and some will not. As somebody was, I was chatting with somebody on the Question the Experts board recently. Once again, good thing to check out, and a lot of great people there available. Service being provided for you by blogandservice.com. Blog and service. Oh wait, no. Question the Experts. You can find it in the bars, in the choices. Just go down a little ways. And I was talking with somebody about the witness or the watcher meditation technique, and they asked me a little bit about it. So I wrote a little bit about it on there. And I want to just mention it right now. Again, the watcher, the witness, the observer, the one who sees. You're being outside of all stimulus. In Zen, they call it the mirror. They say your essential being is a mirror, and it may have collected dust, but you can wipe away the dust, and your being is clean. Anybody out there who thinks they've messed up so bad that it's unforgivable, I mean, there are a few things in this world that are pretty darn close. But in the universe, if it's built in the parameters, it's accepted. in it somehow, some way. And those of us who've had our enlightenment moments, our realization moments, know that that's the feeling we get, that it's all alright, that all is forgiven. But that can only happen when we open up to that possibility for ourselves, when we consider ourselves worthy of this. And so we observe what happens on the outside, we observe the people who come and go, the effect they have on us, what they provoke in us, we look at our emotional states, we look at our mind, we go back over our whole lives from this blank observing perspective, see yourself out from outside yourself. All the things that conditioned you, the basic parameters of your life that shaped you, they would be different if you were somewhere else or with other people. For a moment, consider yourself as a universal being, as a being outside of time and outside of the influence. In the present, you're not shaped by anything. You simply are. Your being lies in the present. Right now, right here. And so we go through, and in India it's called neti neti, neither this nor that. Anything we can see, we know we are not it. Otherwise, how could we see it? And in this stripping away process, we see so many beliefs we had that we thought were our own, and so many ideas that we used to think were cold, hard fact start crumbling to dust. And it hurts. But that's okay. It has to hurt. The growth process hurts a little bit. And it's not a bad kind of hurt. It's you're earning your understanding. You're earning your wisdom. Life does take a toll. You do have to pay your dues, so to speak. But that's all right. You live and you learn. You live and you learn. You live and you learn. And in the end, after all the dust is wiped away, and you're reflecting the pristine starlight that's all around you, what is left is the original self that's been here all along, reflecting all of your lifetime's experience. And so when you reacquire that state of consciousness, you will remember everything that's ever happened to you, both now, in this lifetime, and in all your lifetimes. And if you can open up to it, assimilate it, and yet not identify yourself with it, it will all enter you, and you will have the sum total of your experience at your disposal. All the pieces of you can be brought together, so that the you that resides in this moment is whole again. And this is a good time to play another song of mine illustrating a related concept. It's called The Master.
The Master is one and the same. The Master is one and the same. Krishna is. master is one in the same. The master is one in the same. The master is within the me. The master is one in the same. Oh, show me the master. Yogananda is the master. Very long.
Our immersion in the topic of Zen. Sometimes it's best to just jump in and start swimming around and see what's there. Got one more segment here. If you feel like giving me a buzz, one more time, 1-888-268-4313. And as I mentioned before, Amy from the Creative Cosmos is in our chat room, which you can find, Harmony Live Chat. And after the show, I'll pop in, see if anybody's there, and I can chat it up with you a little bit, too. We did that last week after the show, and it was really cool. So I'll pop in afterwards and see if anybody's lurking around. So now I'm going to try to take that which we've gained in understanding so far in the show, and I'm going to try to lift it even higher and illustrate something which can't be illustrated. I'm going to mention the unmentionable. Speak the unspeakable. Because that's the kind of guy I am. I don't know why. It just seems that that's what has to happen. So when you've cleared away all this stuff that you've been carrying around with you for so long, and you are the mirror reflecting life as it is, what you see takes on a whole nother brilliance, lustrous and wonderful. You never forget that when you're walking upon the grass, that your feet are on a planet in outer space and your head is right up there amongst the stars. There's nothing in between. There may be a little atmosphere, but what's a little atmosphere between friends? Your head is in the stars. I know my head is in the stars, in case you haven't noticed. And we never get used to what we see. Even if we walk the same route every day, or drive the same stretch of highway every day, it's different. Life has rejuvenated itself in so many ways. And we cannot dull ourselves to the life within. If you look deeply enough at a tree or at nature and its foliage and plant life, you can see it oozing with life and pulsing directly from the source. It's like it's twinkling all around. But if we have blinders on, close in on ourselves, and are just trapped in thinking, okay, now I'm driving to work, I'm driving to work, same old day, blah, 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 okay, we got this radio on, same old stuff, blah, blah, yakety-yak, yakety-doo, yakety-yak, and we just get to work, and then we're at work, and we're like, okay, this, that, we lose touch with reality. If you are in that kind of a mindset, you're the one who's lost touch with reality. It isn't those of us who are aware of life, who respect life, who are respectful to each other, who shower love freely and our gifts freely. We are living in a reality, the beautiful reality, the divine life, which is rightfully ours. When we are born here, we aren't deprived by the universe. We deprive each other. And then we are trained to deprive ourselves. And if we happen to enjoy something, we may even judge ourselves for taking the luxury of enjoying it. But I say enjoy. Take the time to get to know yourself, to get to know your world, this universe, this kingdom, this magnificent existence that you've been placed here to experience. If you miss it, you've missed the boat. If you think it's about earning a reputation or getting a plaque or whatever, hey, that stuff is fine, and I'm all for it. I love that kind of stuff, but it has nothing to do with life in the universe. It's human stuff. Life in the universe, we're all here. We're all blades of space grass. And the grass will grow by itself if we allow it to. The only reason we are not in harmony is because we stop the harmony from occurring. This is an essential gift of Zen. Zen came from India to America. There were some Indian gurus that came over and brought some of these realizations. They sacrificed a lot and gave their whole life to bring this over. Of course, there's the Maharishi from the, you know, who was in touch with the Beatles and all that. And, you know, of course, there's always like weird side whatnots in the news about all this stuff, but if there's love and there's truth and there's magic happening, certain people will always like to criticize. And Osho, Rajneesh from the West came, or from the East came to the West. And earlier, Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, came on a, he may have been one of the earliest ones who had a self-conscious calling to come from India and bring the truths of the East to America, where it could take root and raise this experiment that has never been fully materialized, fully realized, and release it to become what it could be, a universal crossroads, a leader in every way, not just in like technology, but in spirit as well. And that's why the world gets so disappointed when the U.S. is doing harmful things, because they seek that light, that spirit, and we could provide it. And Zen for America doesn't mean the traditional monk where that hangs out and just does that. It means we can take this understanding and incorporate it into our lives, into our culture, into our understanding, into our way of operating in existence. And this unification of the culture and technology and expressions of the West with the deepest and most profound universal understandings of the East, and we accept them both and use them both to enrich ourselves, then we have all the tools we ever could need to be well and to come to our own realization. See, that is all, once again, a finger pointing to the moon. That is not the end. This knowledge, this information is meant to push on you, to stir your complacency, to encourage you to break out, to follow your next whim, or to realize one of your dreams, or to live intensely whereas you lived in a very reserved manner before. There is nowhere else to go, and nothing else to do. as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Thank you for joining me this evening, and thank you to all of my webmaster friends out there, and to all you've emailed me, and those of us, some of us have an ongoing discussion and question and answer and interaction about spiritual matters, and it's great. I love the conversation and the interaction, and it's amazing to hear from people all over the world, which I do. I have friends all over the place now, and it's just brought so much joy and fulfillment into my life. And in one of the emails I wrote somebody, I was telling them about how I thought originally that I would have to try to find ways to share the truth with people alone. When I first discovered it, I wasn't really aware of other people in the present talking about it, but I knew it had to be talked about, and I was fully prepared to face the hardships of going it alone. And it's a miracle in my life to have come into the company of other people who are doing the same thing in so many fantastic and amazing ways. I feel the blessings in my life, and I feel that together with the blog and service and BBS Radio and all the individuals working and their websites and the communities we're building, that we're doing powerful things, and we're just getting started, and we're going to continue to bring this truth every day and the realizations of life in the universe. And I hope that you feel called to share this awareness with others, and if it affects your life, you will demonstrate this truth just in the way you carry yourself, and in this way we are changing the world. Have a great night. Here's the final song to wrap things up on the Zen concept: Thunder and Lightning.
It's a little bit of lightning, it's a little bit of thunder, it's a little bit of joy in the air, it's a little bit of wonder, it's alive in the animals, it's growing through the greenery, celebrating all around the living scenery. It's everything you could hope for, maybe even just a little bit more. And the life flows all around you, love has finally found you. It's a shining pleasure and a cure for pain. The sun of the earth and a morning rain. It's a field of fireflies. It's a dance in the sunrise. Laughing for the rest of your life, happy and wise. Inside the empty corners of your mind. Oh, you can search and maybe you will find that the life goes all around. Finally found you. It's a simple kind word that puts a smile on your face. A heart full of love for the human race. It's a special type of harmony with the whole wide world. A blessed time for every boy and girl. Your old ideas no longer whistling wind, a perfect attitude. It's a whole new spirit with a lot of possibilities, and each one's open for you. Now what you gonna do? A single person in a single place, floating on a ball in outer space.
a little bit of lightning. It's a little bit of thunder. It's a little bit of joy in the air. It's a little bit of wonder.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.